Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
If you read your Bible, there are certain things you'll see that open-air meetings was the regular thing in those days. This business of church houses, that's rather recent. First of all, it came from the pagan institutions. When Constantine said it's going to be Christian, well, they just took over the pagan buildings. And so we more or less have, that's the way it has to be. Read your Bible and you'll find that it's house churches. And there are some of us that believe that house church is the biblical way. I personally like the personalness, the intimacy. It was about 15 or 16 years old that I ever went into one of these church buildings and didn't know what it was all about. I'm not proud of that, but that's the truth. I didn't find a very warm reception. And that's what institutionalized church can be. You come, sit down, sing some hymns, listen to preaching, go home. Well, you can get into that routine if you're not careful. But with a house church, there should be a little more personal intimacy, talking with one another and praying for one another. I tell you, you can say what you want to about prayer meeting, but it's, to me, it's a thrill at praying for folk who have need. Will you pray for the services, the meetings, the outdoor air meeting this next Sunday? 7 days from now at around Wigman's store up there, Williamsport, somewhere in that area, Church Street. Haven't had complete approval of it, but we're expecting. And a 10x10 spot. And as you can see, we have a riser whereby we get up and preach and read the Bible. We will be, I trust, sing, and do tracking, passing out tracks as the people walk. It is 4th of July, backdoor radio observance. And I anticipate there'll be quite a few people. I think I really ought to talk a little more. We'll get to worship in a minute. I'd like to have a way whereby, as I have a picture of Brother Ken talking to a lady, it'd be nice when he finds someone or we find someone we want to talk to personally, that another would take over and start passing the literature in the other person's behalf. We got to be careful letting people go by and not getting any literature. I know we can monkey-dinkle around with the books and so forth, but they need to get the Word of God. There are people who never, never go to church. No. No. I didn't. And they need to be reached. Here it's more or less preaching to the choir, and I appreciate giving you the Word of God. But there are people out there that don't know about Christ, don't hear about Him. In this area, though, we have their religiosity, and as little babies, they probably were sprinkled and they were inoculated from anything else. They're all set, according to the obituary columns. So that has to do with the tracking, the passing out of tracks. That little comic track, I think that's good. When you pass it out, say, "No, be sure to read the last part that talks about the Lord Jesus." Then we have CDs and cassettes. You might want to carry one of those in the pocket and I want by next Sunday to have a variety of CDs. Mine's out there now, which was already kind of done. We do need some help. And if you've got any time this week, I appreciate if you call and say, hey, look, do you need some help? Now, Judy's going to, we talked on the phone, Judy's going to make a larger banner for the front of the canopy. And it's been suggesting that we put on there our website. We're not going to use the WW anymore. I don't think you need that. And local church PA, they'll say, oh, yeah, I see the flag there. By the way, someone said, is that the Red Cross flag? You don't know your flags if you call that a Red Cross flag. That's a Christian flag. And I like a Christian flag. Fly the banner. And so what I would like you to understand is that as we prepare and have identification on the canopy of some sort, and then after you've labored, Brother Bob and Peggy have invited us up to their place in South Williamsport, Mountain Avenue. 11 what? 1100? 1105. Barbecue. And watch the fireworks. Now, there you go. If you've never been to Brother Bob's place, would you help? You say, what do you need? Well, we have old hymn books. They're green ones. And we sing. In fact, it's already done. As you open the old hymn books that we take to outdoor meetings, the name of, we have written down some hymns. Why did you pick these hymns? Well, most people have heard these, and we're going to sing them this morning. We may sing a cappella, brother. That's the way we'll be doing it next Sunday. And so when we get into worship, I think we'll see how we do a cappella. That is without instrument. So if you could come, and we have hymnals, and you would stand behind the riser there and sing these hymns. God has a way of taking sound by way of the wind and wafting it through the crowds. We're not going to use any PA system. Besides, I think it offends if you blare their heads and their ears off, but God will arrange for it. However, we hope to have some background music, Brother Tom. Thank you. So, would you come? Oh, you're not giving all the details. Didn't I tell you the details? You got to be on the details. Next Sunday after the morning service, which Brother Rick is going to be preaching, and Brother Rick, we're out of here at 11 o'clock. Yeah, he loves it. When he gets started, he doesn't want to stop. Good boy. Yeah, man. But the ladies are going to arrange for us to grab a bite to eat and get up to set up our canopy and items. I would suggest that we have our vehicles loaded after we have eaten. We take right up and unload. Now, for those of you who are coming, say, well, I don't know where to park. I don't want to walk a mile or so just to, well, there's a mid-city parking, I never get that right. What's the name of that? Mid-city parking what? You drive in. What? Thank you. There's a mid-city parking deck. You just drive in. There's no cost. Park your vehicle there. But first you unload and then go there. Does that help you? That's on 3rd Street. You can find it. And now, announcement that I didn't give. Ladies, it's been requested you have a little meeting. Probably it'd be good up here, ladies, after church and talk about the matter of food for next Sunday after the morning service. So would you ladies that are interested perhaps stay? And we men folk will... We'll just let you girls take care of that. What did I miss? I miss anything about next Sunday? I'm looking forward to some of you fellows to give a testimony, give a word. Not very long, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. Just talk about the Lord and salvation. I want to make this clear. Are you trying to build up the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church by this kind of a thing? Well, it may be, but that's not our point. Our point is to present Jesus Christ, the need for salvation. It's evangelism. However, like in all of our literature, there's a little labeled on there in case Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, 325 Yetta Road, Muncie, 1756, and the web, localchurchpa.com. See, I'm of the opinion that if you're going to have someone newborn and the new birth, that as newborn children have to be attended to, you just don't let them take care of themselves, or as Billy Graham used to say, go to the church of your choice. Wherever he came from, I don't know. No, we want to direct them. And if somebody gets genuinely saved, wouldn't that be glorious? People get genuinely saved, and the Spirit of God would, and we have the task of discipling them. When you had little babies, remember? You taught them. And they need to be taught, don't they? Disciple them. By the way, the great commanding officer said, go, G-O. And that's what outdoor services, we're going. Here we are sitting. We say, oh, come, come. Well, if you're like I was, young teenager, I'm not interested in your coming. But maybe if you go and talk to me, I might listen. Would you pray about this matter and do it for the Lord? You don't have to. You don't have to worry about being afraid. The Lord will give you strength and courage, but you must go. Well, I think that I'll leave it right there. Let's enter into a time of worship. And we have these hymns. And the first one I like us to sing a cappella. That we have heard the joyful sound that Jesus saves 370. We have
heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back the ocean caves. Persia deep, her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. Oh, when the heart for mercy prays. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory.
if we were to evaluate that, I'm just singing this way, and I want to tell you how my response, that was well done. And yeah, thank you, brother. Now let's turn to 387, see how we do on this hymn, 387, which I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, 387.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because
pray, listen to what God says concerning the last days, the matter of church demonologists, demonizers. The 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused, if it is be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we are concerned this morning that your presence and blessing be upon us. We don't need to hear men, but yet we know there are those who are co-laborers. And so we have the task of giving forth your precious word, and so it is your word. And so as your word is given this morning, we pray for the Spirit of God to take it and teach us and help us. Yes, Christians. Yes, and those who know not Christ Jesus as their personal Savior. In this day, Lord, there seems to be a lack of repentance, that we're all pretty good people. We're not sinners, and therefore we don't talk much about sin. We don't repent and turn from it. Oh, yes, we have Jesus. But, oh, Lord, we know that there are many Jesuses. We want the one from the Bible. Help us to center in and key in upon the real Jesus Christ, the Lord. It is true, Father, that as we have sung this morning, we want to tell this story. We trust that we'll love it enough. For there are some who have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. And so give us a heart. And may we have your blessing upon us as we go, and as we claim strength and power, and we claim that the word would be effective also, and that as it goes out, and as it is wafted out in the airways, that, Father, that there are those who hear, and you use it for the salvation of their precious souls. Once again, we want to give thanks for working in our lives and our hearts, individually, collectively, as a church. Our Father, we pray that we might be attentive to the needs, individually and collectively as a church, and that we might, for you love, a cheerful giver, one that is sacrificial. Remind us, Lord, the tithe is yours. And remind us that beyond the tithe, a tithe is what we give. Love gifts. And so may we not just excuse ourselves for giving the tithe, which is yours, but also that we might give, that the cause of Jesus Christ and the word of God, that it might go forth. Our Father, there's needs all over the country, all over the world. There's needs in our backyard. Yes, this is our Jerusalem, and we need to start here. Help us that we might be reinforced, that we might be not only prepared spiritually, but we might be prepared amply for the needs that we have mentally and physically. Once again, we thank you for your goodness to us. As we look at Calvary, we see our blessed Lord Jesus and what he did for us, his great love for us. And our Father, as he died, and they said, "It is finished." May we see the need of just telling about the Lord Jesus and lifting him up. And you, Father, you'll bless the preaching of the word. You promised it and not return void. And our Father, we pray as we see our Lord Jesus buried in the tomb, and we see him resurrected, ascended, and sitting at the place of authority and power at the right hand of God the Father. I pray, Father, for power this morning here with us and throughout the week, that we might show forth our Lord Jesus Christ in his glory. What a glorious Savior. Help us, we pray, to speak of him who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen. Please be seated. Let's sing some more. The third one. Well, it's "Sing Them Over Again to Me, the Wonderful Words of Life." 722. The Wonderful Words of Life.
Sing them over again. Teach me faith and beauty, how beautiful words, wonderful words, oh, wonderful words of light. Beautiful words, wonderful words, oh, wonderful words of light. Christ, the Blessed One, gives to all wonderful words of light. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of light. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of light. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of light. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of light. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of light. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words of light. Wonderful words of life. Amen.
All right, let us study the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you'll turn, please. I want to review the first few verses and then get on with verses 3 through 5 on this matter of church demonizers. Now, what are we doing here? Why are you picking this? Well, we've been studying the book of Ephesians. And that church of Ephesians, Ephesus, was around town quite a while in the Bible. And so the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, he had a young fellow who was a sidekick, spiritually speaking, and Timothy was a wonderful chap. And he was so good at people and the Word of God that Paul would say, now, Timothy, you go and you lead that group. And so he led the church at Ephesus. And the Spirit of God, as in Acts 20, Paul, after having founded the church, he's talking to the elders, and he said, you know, a time's coming that there's going to be some difficult times. And so when he sent Timothy by the Spirit of God to go to Ephesus, he's getting the young preacher some instruction, and so we've been looking at some of these instructions. I think the previous chapter is just so marvelous that it talks in the third chapter about preachers. I'll get to that maybe a little later, but he was saying in verse 15, he said, now, preacher, young preacher, I want to tell you something. By the Spirit of God, he said, I hope to come along and see you, but if I tarry long, and that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. I think it's marvelous. What is the living the church of the living God? It's the pillar and it's the ground of truth, the church is. In another passage in the Word of God, it says, Christ's glory is in the church. I'll tell you what, you can have all these other parachurches if you want them. You can have them. When God says that his glory is in the local church, that's where I want to put my stock. I don't know where you want to put yours. And he says, you know, and it's just so marvelous. Isn't that 16th verse so marvelous about our Lord Jesus? And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, speaking about our Lord. How about him? Well, God, he was called God. Christ is called God, yes. God was manifest in the flesh. He is justified in the Spirit, that he is verified by the Spirit of God. He was seen of angels and preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now then, chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Oh, my. I don't want to hear that news. There are some people who have gotten to the place they want to listen to the news anymore because it's so depressing. Well, there's another way of looking at it, in case you didn't know it. What is God doing in the world? Is it a premium to be ignorant about matters of what's going on? I don't think so, but we've got to keep our eyes upon the Lord as we listen to the news. Now, this is in the present tense written that this is happening now. Yes, back in Paul's day, Timothy's day, yes. He said the Spirit of God speaks expressly. He said, I want you to listen to this. This is not wrangle. Listen to this. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Now the latter times, that is till our Lord Jesus come from his leaving here physically, till he comes again, that is in the Bible called the latter times. We're in the latter times. This is apropos. This is speaking right for us. The last days. The Holy Spirit is revealing some things here. I tell you, friends, just as soon not speak on these things, but you got to be real about matters. There will be those who apostatize. Now, to be an apostate is a person really never saved, but has been to a church like this, perhaps, heard these truths, maybe even went through catechetical classes and learned the doctrines, and you say, well, I know this, I know that. But after a while, they leave. I used the example of Billy Graham's partner, Templeton, Charles Templeton. That was in my day when I was in school. And as a wonderful preacher, man, he could preach a storm. And I personally think he was better than Billy. But they got together and said, you know, neither one of us have been to seminary. Billy and Chuck, or Charles. And so they decided, well, Chuck, he said, well, I'll go to seminary so that at least they'll know that I've been around town. He went to Princeton Theological Seminary, of all the places. Whew-ee. It one time was a good school, but it's just as radical as could be. And he wrote back to Billy, and he said, Billy, we got to get up to date. And he said to him, I no longer believe those things. He left the ministry. Can you give me the rest of the story? Nope. Can't. I don't know if he's living or dying, or he died. I know that much about him, though. You say, I don't understand that. He was in Sunday school, member of the church, could get up and talk about the things of God, and he's no longer interested. Don't you folk believe once saved, always saved? That is eternal salvation? Or do you believe you're going to lose your salvation? We believe that it's eternal salvation. But the thing of it is, friends, we believe that if you aren't genuinely saved, being born again, and just going through it mentally, I'm a good student, I can remember all these things. Yet if it's not here, never having been saved, they apostatize. The word apostatize, they leave. They went out from among us because they were not of us. Brethren, that's really sad. You shake your head and say, I don't understand this. I mean, he preached to us, and he's no longer interested. He was a deacon. He was an elder, a leader in the church. But he's no longer interested. I talked to one man who was in that state, and he said, listen, I've been there, done that. I was on the board, I was a deacon, and he just was not interested in his old age. You grayheads, you better be careful, including mine. If you don't know Jesus Christ savingly, personally, and have been born again, you're in line for verse 1 of 1 Timothy 4. You're lined up. Because the devil There are demons. I trust you understand a little about demons. They're real. They're invisible. And they can whisper in your ear. I know what it is to sit there. I know what it is to be, maybe next Sunday. I know what it is to be on Tuesday. I know what it is. I'll be thinking about everything except paying to what God has said. This is the Word of God. And if you don't pay attention to it, you're going to give an account. I had to give an account. Did you study this so that you can teach it? Yeah, but Lord, I'll have to tell you this. You housewives don't understand this, wouldn't you? I would like to have more time to prepare. I can't be running around doing all kinds of things. And sorry about that, but that's the way it is. I said to Brother Bob, we sure could use a little more help around here. And there are those who have been working hard, and I appreciate that, working real good. But it's a little bit like that parable where the seed was cast, and some was cast on a rock, and it germinated. It actually came forth. And the Lord Jesus said, it's like that. People hear the Word of God, and they're all excited about it. Woo-wee, this is wonderful. But then seed sown on a rock, it won't last. The sun will come out, and it'll die. He said, all right, now you understand a little about local church, don't you, Timothy? There'll be this that's going on in 1 Timothy 4:1. And they'll depart from the faith. And they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh, come on. I don't want to hear that, but that's the way it is. The next verse also, but I'll get to that. But seducing spirits, I've called them demonizers. You know, you got to be so careful. In sales, we had a fellow. Up your town, South Williamsport. He was a terrific salesman, kind of an inventive fellow, and I liked him. But I would meet people and say, do you know him? They said, oh, yeah, he's a very brilliant man. Well, I don't think he was anywhere dumb, I'm going to tell you that, but I didn't classify him as a brilliant man. But he had a way of winsomeness. And verse 1 is talking about the demons, the demonizing of people. There's something about them that they have. They give heed to seducing spirits, or demons, and the teachings of the devil. The devil's the head of the demons, in charge. Now, this is what's scary. See? This is what's scary. Somebody comes along and is all excited about the Word of God. Oh, you don't? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's wonderful. Woo! I never thought there was a church like this around Lycoming County. All excited. But first of all, it's hard to explain. They seem to, those who are not really saved, but are people who are Christianized. That's the word. You know what it is to be Christianized? That means you're not really a Christian, but you know your way around town as far as Christian things. And oh, how sad it is. And as they... the demons would say, see that guy there? Yeah. You go talk to him. And this one who is not really saved and religious, Christianized, he goes and say, how you doing there, Pete? Are you a pretty good guy? Hey, I was wondering if we can get together, you know. And what's he trying to do? The demons are saying is to kind of snatch them away, have them follow the teachings, something that is contrary to the Word of God. When you have incorrect, when you have heresies, when you have false religious matters, there are people who will try to win people in the congregation to their side. And after a while, I said, he's not preaching that. Huh? And they say, hey, George, come here. I'm talking to this man, we were talking about him, and you don't hear that from the pulpit. First of all, there's the click. What are you talking about? I'm talking about 1 Timothy 4:1, that just demons are seducive, and they cause people to be seducive, and they are giving forth the teachings of the devils. Well, so what? Verse 2 is, so what? They speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They have no conscience. No conscience? How do you get that? Their conscience was seared with a hot iron, that's all. Catheterized. Catheterized, yeah, that's the word. And you leave a scar and it has no feeling. You can, I've been catheterized, no feeling there. What'd you say? Thank you, nurse. Appreciate that. Oh, you girls. Did you get the right of the idea that they take and they burn it? And so you close the veins or whatever they do, and it becomes seared. Conscience can be seared, so they're insensitive. So I don't care what that, what I care what the Bible says. And oh, how subtle they are. Three-piece suits, flashy, top of the class. Oh, man, have their degrees, you know. Oh, boy, woo-wee. You almost think they walk on water, but they don't. Because their conscience is seared with a hot iron and they're hypocrites. God, that is too strong. I don't think a local church needs to hear quite that. They need to hear about good things. This is a good thing. Because if you stick your head in the sand and say, I don't understand how things are, here you can help to understand it. Yes. So it can be a playground for demons. Judas, Demas, yes, and all those disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ that walked with him no more. You have enough of that? Let's go on. I have enough of it. And yet, a day may come, you find out you need to know more about it. Verses 3 through 5. Is this up to date? This is in the Bible. This is up to date. In Psalm 119, it says, the word of God does not change, it lasts forever. This is the word of God. You can argue if you want to. Be one of the gang. What about them? Continuing, contextually, forbidding to marry. Verse 3, and commanding to abstain from meats, or food, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, friends, that's pretty up to date. And so to be forewarned is to be forearmed. What does God say? Now, I don't want to get into medical. I even got that medical term wrong. I don't want to get into medical when it comes to food. You have a diet, you know, you have to. You have a, some kind of a allergy. I don't want to get into the medical aspect. That's something you have to work out. But I do want to deal with the matter of foods. But first, this matter of marriage. Forbidding to marry. Oh, that's Roman Catholics. It's the first thing that comes up to your mind. I remember reading this one time when I was in seminary, and I thought, that sure is talking about present-day Roman Catholicism, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, like on Lent you durstn't eat meat unless it's on Friday. And so, that's Roman Catholicism. Yeah, well, I think you need to go a little further than that. It's true. It's true. By the way, August, down at Humble's Wharf, what plaza is that? Al, what plaza at Homo Wharf? What is it called? Sunbury, what is that plaza? The mall. What is it called? The mall. Yeah. Down there, there's a church called Calvary Baptist Church in August. They're having a conference and has to deal with understanding Roman Catholicism and how to evangelize them. August what? 18th, 16th? Wednesday. You say, well, I know all about it. Been there, done that. Well, maybe. But we're thinking about the possibility of going down as we have already on a Wednesday night. This matter of marriage. They don't really teach that you're forbidden to marry. They only say that if you're going into the priesthood, that the celibacy for the priesthood. Well, what's that? How's that working out? What are you laughing for? I laugh out of nervousness. It's costing them millions, up and towards now the billions. Costing who? The Roman Catholics. Because of their teaching on the matter of celibacy for the priesthood. Do you read the newspapers? Do you hear about the settlements? Well, what about it? Well, got news for you. I had a preacher friend who was a pastor in Bloomsburg, Calvary Baptist, years ago, Al Ottaviani. He said, you know, the local priest is dating my sister. I said, what, Al? They were Roman Catholics back then. He said, yeah. He said, the Roman Catholic priest is he's dating my sister. I said, oh, man. Sometimes you have to be forthright. We men have sex desire. Is that a secret? And they're not exonerated. Verse 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it's wrong. That's why they have so much problem. It's wrong. They say, well, I'm not interested in them. All right, let's be interested in something else. So, Francis, people say to me once in a while, what do we need a piece of paper to say that we're married? We don't need a piece of paper to say we're married. We just live together. Oh, that's interesting. And this generation does really shack out. I don't know where the mom and dads are. I guess they're the philosophy, if you're going to buy shoes, you got to try them out first. I don't know where the parents are. You know, the guys my age, I'm getting so that I'm almost turned against them and the women. We have not done our job, and yet we think we're that chosen race of some sort, World War II bunch. No. If only somehow they get the facts. Some of them have been checking out, if you read the facts, different folk. Problems. Get the other side of the story, will you? Try to get the other side of the story so you can talk to young folk. Instead of saying, well, you know, everybody does it. Get the other side of the story. How they break up. And how the guys think that, as my brother used to say to me about certain other guys, as my blood brother, he said, why buy the cow when you get the milk free? That was really rude. But some people are just that dumb again, and they just, it seems, it's all right, it's going to work out. He's going to marry me, you know that? He's going to marry me. I'll live with him and he'll marry me. It doesn't work out that way. Oh, some do marry. You know, if they come to church, hello, my name's Joe and this is, you know, Tweety. We've been shacking out together and we think it's wrong. We wonder if you might consider marrying us. There'd be folk in the church that says, no, don't, no, people like that. You just let them go somewhere else. Oh, my friends, you know, this business of the church in the last days, there are those who are really believing. I've read this in the news recently. They say this over the years. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very soon. In the Greek, he's on his way. But legalism. Well, now, you see, Adam and Steve are living together. What? Adam and Steve are living together. They're that's called homosexuality. Yeah. And we're taught in school, the public schools. Sorry, Kenneth. But in the lower grades, they are doing this. They're even supplying condoms for second graders in New Hampshire. Oh, no, you're wrong. Read the paper yourself if you think I'm wrong. Say, what's going on? How dumb. Yes, you want them to be safe. And if you only knew the facts about how unsafe they really are. Oh, dear friends, do we have to talk this way? Yes, because in our day in which we live, this matter of forbidding to marry in different aspects, lesbianism and homosexualism and all kinds of things going on out there. And it's all right. It's be an appropriate thing. Now, the state's going to vote on this. Okay. Say, I don't want to hear that. Well, don't pay attention to it. You better, though. Because you better open your mouth. They tell us, they're saying about us preachers, that we really don't talk to you folk about how you ought to be stewards of God's money. You're afraid to talk about money. Well, we've been intimidated. All they were talking about is money. So we just shut up about it. Said, the chickens are coming home in the roost. You're having a rough time, aren't you, churches? Yeah. 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 They can't afford to air condition the buildings, heat them, meeting in small rooms somewhere. And so people, they live in their sealed houses and they fix everything up. And the church is doing fine. You don't worry about anything. You better find out what's going on, even this little church. He'll help you. We're both stewards, but he's also a steward. If you want to know how things are, there's needs. We'd like to be able to be missionary-minded too, not only locally, but far away. All right, where are we? Oh, we're talking about marriage and saying it's all kind of in the news and cults. And not just Roman Catholics, but the cults of all sorts. They have all kind of dumb, funny ideas. The Bible teaches a man and a woman monogamy. It's in the Word of God. It's not man and woman. You know that. It's in that Genesis. I don't have to go over that second grade stuff, do I? And yet people are saying, it's all right. It's okay. My daughter, she's a lesbian, but my son's a, you know, he's gay. I do think that chickens come home to roost. I think we males better learn about a few things. I got to make the money. Yes, sir. And I get out there and I make the money. Yeah, but you know those boys that you have and those girls you have? You're a busy man. You're a businessman. Oh, yeah. You're really going to make money. And you make all kinds of money. Yee-hoo. And you send them away to liberal modernistic schools and get them an education, and they come back and they have no time for God. And I spend all kind of money to educate my children and they don't even walk with the Lord. You know, fellas, it said that we're to be the head of our families. Well, I heard that before, preacher. You know, hear it again. It's a hierarchy. The Bible teaches it's God, it's man, it's wife, and children. That's God's plan. But I want to tell you something. We men, we're out there making the money. We let the little lady, little woman, take care of all the management, and she's actually the head. You say she's the neck that turns the head. Yeah, I heard that too. But she's become the head. In our country, the United States of America, women are basically in leadership. You get the facts now. Women are in leadership. There are more chief executive officers than there are women than there are men. Well, so what? In politics, they're becoming increasingly more. There are more women in colleges learning how to be managers than men. I want to tell you something. The reason, even an attitude is, what do we need men for? And so she makes big money. You make better than hourly wage. She becomes the boss. Now, don't you think I'm trying to say manhandling? If I heard of a guy manhandling his wife, he and I would have a tassel. Don't you guys think that you can manhandle your wives? I'm not talking that way. You love her like Christ loved the church. She may be need to talk to, but you just love her. That's what the Bible says. But we sometimes, we get things on, and say, well, I'm the boss. Applesauce, you listen to me. She said, but I got to tell you something. I'm the one that's paying the mortgage, in case you didn't know it, old man. I'm the one that's paying the bills. And my job is paying for this lovely home we're in. And I sacrificed to go to college. And what did you do? You had your football games and your toys. I'm the one that really worked. And so I'm saying the feminization and the women liberation, you better believe it's real. It gets so real that we have chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. It's about time you get back to the Word of God. Pardon me. It's all right to give an explanation of the Word of God. But no, notice, look, chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. Well, what's the first verse say? Paul, writing to a young preacher, he said, now this is a true saying. If a man, and that's, by the way, that is masculine, M-A-N. If a man desire the office of a bishop or pastor, he desireth a good work. Are you going to try to tell us something? I'm telling you what God says. Now, the pastor, the bishop, then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. A gulp. I pick up the phone directory. Sue and Marie, and they're all preacherettes. And they're coming in more and more. Do you know that for a fact? Sure, I know it for a fact. Well, what's wrong with that? Did you hear what God says? That a preacher is to be a male. Did you hear that he must be the husband of one wife? Did you read that? And then I read in the scriptures it says about women, that is, they're not to have authority over the man in the church. It says their place of is that they're to learn. And we men folk, boy, we're supposed to be leading our families spiritually. What a joke. The wife, let her have the read the Bible. We'll say the same prayer over and over again. Men are not leading spiritually their families. Oh, we didn't have time. I was busy. I was busy. I didn't have time to have devotions, family devotions. I'm a busy man. I am very much concerned. I really am. I just think that it's a sad situation. I will say this, that this is a more of a problem than you want to think. And it says, all right, but just so you're cognizant of it, God is saying in 1 Timothy 4, verse 3, you just put it down. And now what is this business about commanding to abstain from meats? Ooh, you know, we got to get into something like that. Preacher, this is all sounds like legalism, and I don't like legalism. Well, I don't like it either. But you know what? Churches can get rather legalistic about some things. Some of us know firsthand. I know years ago I had a preacher stop in, and I was down there by the shed, and I knew him from acquaintance. And we stood there, and he said, you know, you raise goats, meat goats? I said, yep. Milk. He said, you know, the Bible teaches that you're to be a vegetarian. Oh, that's interesting. He said, did you know that? And I said, yeah, I know about vegetarianism. This is years ago. And he said, well, it's not right to eat meat. Not right. And I said, well, and he preached it over near Mifflinburg. He preached it. He's gone now. But Genesis chapter 9, in case you get the idea that to be a vegan or a vegan or whatever they call them, or a vegetarian, and he said, don't eat any more meat. That's wrong. Didn't you ever read the Bible? Don't you know you're not supposed to eat pork? Don't you know you're supposed to not any fish that doesn't have its scales on? Didn't you ever read your Bible? Yeah, I did. I do. Well, Genesis 9. Well, in the beginning, I must tell you that if I just go to the first few chapters, I would get the impression that it's vegetarianism. Yeah, that's right. But something happened. There happened to be a flood. And after the flood was over, chapter 9 of Genesis, it says in verse 1 that God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Ooh, no. We knew a man who said it was wrong to eat pork. And he believed it. He promoted it. I read his books. I said, I either got to take the Bible or take that. And by the way, you got to be careful about testimonies. I can give a testimony and say, well, this really did really. Yeah, that's fine. But it's here where we want to, here's where we want to go. I can trust this. All right, where did I leave off? Verse 3, I guess. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat, that is food for you. That word meat means food. Even as the green herbs have I given you all things, but flesh, with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. I go to Germany, some of you Germans here this morning, some of your relatives, they have blood pudding over there in Germany. See, they need to be taught too, don't they? Anyway, the Word of God says this. Verse 4, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat, and surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every brother's man's brother will I require the life of a man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for it in the image of God made he man. And you be fruitful and multiply, bringing forth abundance in the earth and multiply there. And you know, verse 6, I must tell you, some years ago we had a lawyer living down in the second house down the road. He and I got on this business of verse 6. Yeah, we did. And he says, well, it doesn't work. What? He said, it has not proven that to tell people if you kill somebody, you're going to die. He said, it doesn't curb crime. Well, then my Bible's wrong, because it says, if whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. That's what God says. You can argue all you want to and vote all you want to, and go ahead and argue with God. I don't care if you want to argue with God. We let him in prison, and we pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Say, but he's such a lovely guy. I don't want to see him die. He killed somebody. That hasn't been revoked. Thou shalt not kill. Well, that's a different story. It talks about, in the Bible, about those who have committed the crime. Yes, you got to pay for it. What's the point? The point is this. If you're hung up on something about food because you say, the Bible says, yes, I know the kosher laws. I know about them. But you don't want to tell you something about them. They've been done away with. Now, I really should have this, and maybe in my notes I do have it, but at the moment it's not coming up. Let's try Mark 7. You say, well, come on, give us some. Where's the demise of the Jewish dietary laws, preacher? If you're going to stand there, tell us a little something. How about Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 14? Are you getting anything? Is this necessary? Yes, in the last days these things will happen. And I'll begin to read at verse 14. You know the story about the swine. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city, in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and I guess I got to get on the right chapter. I'm in chapter 5. I said chapter 7, didn't I? Chapter 7, let's go there. Didn't sound right. All right. Now let's look and see whether we go on the right page. And when, verse 14, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from within a man that entereth into him can defile him. Whoa, we're talking about dietary laws. It said, nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they which that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Would you say, Lord Jesus? He said, I said to you that anything that goes into your mouth, that won't defile you. Did you really say that? It's what comes out of your mouth that will defile. I just had a little reflection. Ezekiel. I think it's the 4th chapter. Ezekiel. What are you turning there for? I'm talking about forbidding to eat, abstaining from foods. And this is still apropos. I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 4, if you'll find that. Now, if I go down to the organic store, they may tell me that they have a recipe for making bread. Now, I worked in the bakery, so I have some concern. And they said, we have what they call it Ezekiel bread. Please, anybody ever hear of Ezekiel bread? Thank you. Oh, I feel better. I thought maybe I was so old that nobody paid attention to me. You want to follow the Bible, you need Ezekiel bread, they tell us. Okay. Verse 9. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and spelt. That could be rye, too. Fetches could be rye. And put them in one vessel. And make thee bread thereof according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. 390 days shalt thou eat there. Hold it, hold it. What's going on here? Ezekiel, he's doing a charade. Yeah, charade. And he's doing certain things, and he's doing it strange, lying on his side doing this, shaving one way or another. And the people say, what in the world? What's he do? What's that prophet doing? And he says, in those days, everybody made bread. So he said, this is what you need to do. He said, because it's going to be so tough, that the Babylonian captivity is going to be so hard upon you, Jews, you won't be able to even figure it out. He said, I'll show you one by way of a charade. And he said, here's what to do. I'll take wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fetches or spelt or rye, put them in one vessel, make thee bread thereof according to the number of days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. And thy meat, the food which thou shalt eat, shall be by weight 20 shekels a day. That's how much you dare eat of that bread. From time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, the sixth part of a hin. From time to time shalt thou drink. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes. And thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of a man. Pardon me, is this the organic store? Yep. You got this, Ezekiel? Yes, sir, right here. This one. And this is what the Bible says. Okay. May I have the dung? Pardon me, what in the world are you saying? How on? What do you mean the dung? Well, the Bible says it should be the dung of man that you cook it. No, thank you. I don't think I want to Ezekiel bread that's cooked, baked by it. We have such strange ideas. Now, dear ladies, I know you raised your hand, and I heard it before. See, that's the Bible teaches Ezekiel bread. That's the bread you need. Oh, and now I'm off track, but it's time to quit. But I do have more I wanted to talk to you about. I just think that we need to be very careful. Yes, tell me, when you sit down to eat today, and say, Lord God, it's just so good. You know, I don't particularly like that, but it's good, I know, because it says here, and I'm going to go a little longer here, just a few more. It says, verse 3 of 1 Timothy 4, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe. You know, if you know the Lord Jesus, you know what the Bible teaches about thus far. There's no food that is more make you more holy than other food. Well, if I eat this, then I'll be spiritual. If I eat kosher food, then I'll be a spiritual man. No, you will not. Those ceremonial laws were done. They're not for today. Now, there's a new people that want to be modern Jews, and they say, oh, I just need any pork, you know, and I just have to have kosher. Oh, come on. Now, I have certain days I observe. That's legalism. You're trying to make yourself inwardly pure by your outward doings. That's not the way to do it. It starts within. Anyway, quickly. Verse 4. Every creature of God is good. Wow. I've eaten quite a few strange animals, I must tell you. And nothing is to be refused. No, thank you. I don't believe. Why won't you eat that? Well, that's the way I was brought up. I know. I was laughing about this area. In my experience around the farmers around here, if we see a groundhog, I said, groundhog, yeah. You got problems with them? Yeah, we do. Groundhog holes horribly. When I was young, I used to eat groundhog. Did. I thought I was the only one that did that. No, we used to eat a lot of groundhog. I'm talking this area right here. But we don't eat groundhog anymore. But I want to tell you something. I can remember eating groundhog, and it was very good. It was done properly. There's a way to do it. And may I say quickly, there are glands, that is a sweat gland. Please, let me get this. Under the arm of a groundhog, if you skin one out, please take that yellow gland out of there because it'll cost them, it won't taste right. All right, ladies. How'd I get into that, Bob? It's a... Oh, wow. I want to finish this verse. And listen, verse 4. 1 Timothy 4:4, and every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. I like that. You know, I say, well, wait a minute. What does God say about it? Well... God says it's good, and it's to be received with thanksgiving. And he says, the Word of God says it's okay. All right. Now you're supposed to give thanks. Where do you say that in verse 4? That is verse 5, for it is sanctified by the Word of God in prayer. Sanctified by the Word of God. The Word of God says it's okay. Now, I do give thanks for it. That's what prayer is. I give thanks for the food. And... it's all right to say, bless this to our bodies, but I really don't find that as such in the Bible. It says, thankful for it and for God in providing for it. Because I just read about how many, was it, 20 million children are hungry in the world. You read it. It's in today's news. Maybe I have my figures wrong, but it's high. Really hungry. And we go to the store and it's abundant. Those shelves are filled Oh, man, do we have food? Yeah, look at all the food. What are you talking about, preacher? I got to tell you something. Shelves can go empty pretty fast. You better be grateful for that food that you get today. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for providing it. Thank you for giving us a desire and enjoyment of eating it. But the best food of all is Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Do you have him? These things seem like peripheral, but it says be careful in the last days. It'll come into the church like a flood and tear things up. But just remember, our Lord Jesus, keep your eyes upon him. Is there a hymn that we can sing? Yeah. Which one are you going to sing? Well, I'll sing the last one, 431. We got, really, I don't have time. But I tell you what we'll do. Since you know it so well, 431. These are hymns we want to use at this open-air meetings, friends. Let's stand. Let's sing the first and last. We used to do that, but there's six stanzas, and I'm a little over, so let's sing. The instruction from the Spirit of God concerning the matter of the local church, that we can anticipate these situations and that we need to be alert and understanding what you have said about the matter, especially this matter of marriage and the matter of food. And it has broken up churches because we don't know the Word of God. We've heard some things. Will you help us? Will you look upon our hearts this morning? You know our hearts. You know our frame, and you know that we are but dust. But we're concerned about the hearts of knowing Jesus Christ savingly. Speak to hearts this morning of those who know not Christ. Speak to those of us who know Christ that we have a greater desire to be godly. And now, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.